This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Back after the bye, a one-week break, and now a chance to reboot the season. The Bills are the 10th-ranked offense in the league, but they're looking for more points, fewer turnovers, fewer pre-snap penalties, lots of room for improvement, and a big chance to do it today against the NFL's worst defense. Fitz under center, play action fake, rolls right, fires short, caught by Parker, Devontae Parker on the run, inside the five, headed in the end zone, he is in. Touchdown, Miami. O'Leary goes in motion left side, the snap. And Fitz is brought down. He is nailed to the ground by Jordan Phillips. Takes the snap. Going to throw it. Stands in the pocket. Fires it towards the end zone. It is picked off. Intercepted. Tre'Davious White comes up with it at the one-yard line. Tre'Day. Josh takes the snap. Looks. Fires straight down the middle. It is caught. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. Smoke. John Brown. Touchdown, Bills. Quick pass, comes out quickly, is fumbled out around the 27-yard line, picked up by Jerry Hughes. Hughes runs to his right, still on his feet, inside the 25, finally brought down at the 15-yard line. The snap, quick pass, left side, caught, touchdown! Cole Beasley not throwing his helmet now, touchdown Buffalo! Cole Beasley was wide open. Shotgun snap, Josh going to keep it himself, headed into the end zone, he is in! 2 points for Buffalo, then Josh heaves it high, almost out of the stadium. Way up into the upper deck. Fitzpatrick takes the snap, pressured, gets away from it, runs left, looks downfield, going to keep it and run with it at the 10, at the 5, and he bounces his way into the end zone, takes a hard hit from Micah High, but he is in. Touchdown, Miami.
So now it's a three-point game with no timeouts left and only a minute 45 left. They are forced to try an onside kick here.
Here's the bloop kick off, the short one, and it is caught by Micah Hyde in the air, and he's going to run the other
way.
Go
down.
Micah Hyde into the end zone, touchdown. Micah Hyde caught it in the air, ran it into the end zone for the touchdown. The game is over, and the Bills have win number 5 in the books. 31-21, the final score.
It was a battle, but we got it done.
It was a battle, but they did win it. They won by 10, 31-21, the final. Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. Welcome to our One Buffalo studio for another installment of One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, Eric Wood joins us for the first hour this afternoon. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm doing good as well.
Good. Yeah. We're all set to go. Ready to talk with you. We've got a good show here, starting with, of course, the events of yesterday. Steve, it was, I guess, more competitive than most people thought, but it is the NFL. We talked about it all week. You know, teams don't lie down in the NFL, and a 10-point win over the Dolphins may not be enough to suit everybody's tastes the way they got there as well, but they got to take it. They got to take that win with all the lessons learned, put it in the bank, and move forward.
Yeah, you got to think, too, this was, and I know you watched a bunch of Miami games, Eric, leading up this, as did you. That's the best I've seen Miami play.
I would go
by
along with
far.
That. Yep.
They put together a real complete effort on both sides of the football. And played well, they gave a full effort, too. I mean, there was always doubts. You always get this feeling like if you can go out and jump up. Oh, the Bills went out and went up 6-0, which is not that much. You think maybe they'll start to take their foot off the gas. Not so. The Dolphin Fitz and those Dolphins, they came to play, and it looked like it.
Yeah, you're not going to get Fitz to quit, period.
Right.
One of the things I used to get on him about in Buffalo is we'd be down 3 scores in the fourth quarter, and he'd go out and throw 2 interceptions and ruin his – you know, stat line, and not that stats are that important, but I'm like, buddy, you can't score 21 points on one throw. Quit throwing these picks. One, I got hurt on an interception already, you know. Let's quit this, dude. But you are not going to get any quit from Fitz, and that rubs off on the team, on his teammates. So even if the Bills were able to capitalize on their first two drives, and let's say it was 14-0 instead of 6-0, maybe the defense for the Dolphins lays down a little bit. Maybe some of the young guys, you know, without true leadership on that defense. But that offense was going to keep coming. They were going to play hard for Ryan Fitzpatrick the whole day. And what he does is he inspires confidence in a lot of guys. I played on a team that started 5-2, and we didn't have – hardly any of the guys, any guys on the team that you could have named in the national media scene. And then we started 5-2 that year, and a big reason for that was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right.
He got those receivers to be exactly where he wanted them to be, and he put the ball on them, and you saw it again yesterday where he has a guy like Preston Williams, an undrafted free agent out of Colorado State. Now, Fitz is telling me at dinner Friday night, oh, this is Brandon Marshall Jr., and I'm like, yeah, without the skills, he's an undrafted free agent rookie. And he said, no. He said, he got in a little trouble in college, and that's why he fell. But he does that to guys. He builds them up. A guy like Devontae Parker, who hasn't had a whole lot of success in his career after being drafted pretty early in the first round, he comes in, and now Fitz is there and builds him up. And Devontae's 6'3", and he's athletic, and he's caught touchdowns now in three consecutive games.
Eric, you hit on something. You articulated it much better than I did this morning. I was on with Howard Simon, and I said there is an inspirational quality to Ryan Fitzpatrick's play that I think is underrated, and we saw it yesterday. He's getting hammered by Micah Hyde right at the goal line. The Dolphins aren't that talented, but you look around and say, that guy's been in the league 15 years. Look at the shots he's taken. Right? I got to go out there and work hard.
Right. And before the game, I knew his scrambling ability would come into play, and we saw it a number of times yesterday. The one touchdown he had to Devontae Parker was on a designed bootleg. He still has the mobility, which is incredible to me. It's kind of like Steve. He doesn't work out, but he stays in shape.
Right, yeah.
But Ryan, I mean, he's not some of these guys go see a quarterback coach in the offseason. They work out with a specific trainer. Like Fitz is –
He's being a dad
to his seven kids. He's coaching sports teams. He literally showed me a video Friday night of him jumping into his pool and throwing one of his little girls in the air. And he said, there's my summer workout, throwing my kids around in the pool.
Right.
But for him, at 36 years old, to be running around and making plays like he is phenomenal. And to your point, John, when you're willing to put your body on the line like that for your teammates, when you have absolutely no ego at the quarterback position and you're constantly building up those around you, people want to play hard for you. His leadership qualities, I would imagine Fitz has read zero books on leadership throughout his life. Just knowing how he's wired as a person, he probably thinks, I've read 50, he's read zero, and we're best friends. That's why we get along. But he just has these innate qualities about him that it's infectious.
Well, you think the guy's 36, he's still playing football in the National Football League at a quarterback, maybe the most difficult position to play. You think, well, why? Well, the fact of the matter is he doesn't have an elite arm. He's not an elite athlete. He's, all that stuff that goes in there, and he kind of is a gunslinger without all the weapons to use. The guy is an elite leader.
Yes.
There's few quarterbacks in the league that elevate the guys around them better than him. That's why he still plays. He's 36. We all have fun with him. You think, he throws six picks. He throws six touchdowns. He runs this roller coaster. But the guy's an elite leader. That's why he's still playing in the National Football League. That's why he's playing over a guy that was picked in the top 10 of last year's draft and got the guy really basically benched, came in almost won last week, and came into a team that's 4-1, riding high with one of the top three defenses in the league, and almost beats him. It's because he's an elite leader. The guy really brings that to the table. Forget about all his physical limitations and where he was drafted and his whatever. You can list all the things, his inconsistencies. You can list all of that stuff easily. But that guy is top one or two in the league at leading guys and elevating. And that's why he's still playing.
You're absolutely right.
Eric Wood is with us for the first hour of the show. We got a good show coming up here. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, Bills linebacker Tremaine Edmonds joins us here in studio. At 1:30, Maddie Glab will have the Maddies, her awards for yesterday's performances on the field and the Bills 31-21 win over the Miami Dolphins. And at 2 o'clock, Chris Brown, Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com, joins us. Obviously, the focus of our discussion is yesterday's 10-point win over the Miami Dolphins with plenty of room for improvement for the Bills, and we're ready to talk about that. Give us a call. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We're just looking for your biggest takeaway from the Bills 31-21 win over the Dolphins. You can send it in on Twitter. We'll read them off the tweet sheet. Send it in at OneBillsLive or give us a call. We'll put you on the air. Again, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We talked about Fitz. Let's talk about the Buffalo quarterback a little bit. I'm reluctant anyway, Eric, to make sweeping conclusions about anybody 16, 17 starts into their career. But it appears that Josh Allen may be a little bit of a slow starter, but has the ability to make plays when it counts the most. He's done it now at least two or three times this season.
I didn't play quarterback in this league, but early in my career, at times, I did start start myself slow in games because it's not routine playing against NFL talent week in and week out yet. You know, they can give you some different looks early in a game that you haven't seen before in your career. Early on, you saw a couple pressures for the Dolphins, and they weren't completely foreign looks. I had seen them run similar schemes on film, but not exactly that. And they were able to get some pressure on them. I think I talked to Josh about this after the game. One of the plays of the game is the very first pass he threw. That ball gets tipped straight up in the air. There's two Dolphins defenders waiting for the ball, and he jumps up and bats it down. That's one of the biggest plays of the entire day, because if you throw an interception right there and give the Dolphins all that hope, the ball on your plus side of the field, you know, as an offense, you throw a pick early on. Sometimes that can be tough to rebound from. As an offensive coordinator, shoot, now do we have to go to the ground game? All this. That was a huge play to bat it down. But Josh did get stronger as the day went on. He had one incompletion in the second half, and that was on about a 50-yard pass that he overthrew Andre Roberts on. And a guy, you know, a lot's been made of the lack of deep ball throwing and completions. And I heard you talk about it this morning, John. Those are low percentage plays, and the law of averages says those will come up. Right. As the season goes on, the fact that we're 5-1, we haven't completed a deep ball yet this year. I absolutely love that, because they will come. But Andre Roberts, he's a guy that Josh Allen has not thrown that many deep balls to. You know, next time he'll understand, okay, well, maybe he comes out of his route this way. Maybe his post goes to the goal post or to the other upright, or, you know, Steve, you could speak on that. You know, aiming right. Point. There's so right. Many little nuances of throwing a deep ball and not just, hey, put a little more air under it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's exactly right. I mean, you just get used to throwing to the guy.
Eric touched on something, Steve, that we've talked about on this show. From the very first time I watched Josh Allen practice with the Bills, not play, but practice even, his competitive fire, I think, stands out. And you see it again yesterday. Maybe that's why he seems to get better as the game goes along, because he's in his head, he's like, now I got to make a play. And he does. I think he's an extreme fierce competitor. I really do.
We've seen both, and we continue to see both ends of it, though. The ones where he's trying to keep a play alive. There was one play where he took a 6-yard sack where he dodged a corner blitz, stepped up through between two rushers, ran out to his right, still looking down the field, and then finally the fourth guy comes up and tackles him for a 6-yard loss, and he just throw it away,
right.
You know? And he just refuses to do it once in a while because he thinks, I got time, I'm going to do this. And so we see both sides of that competitive spirit and the competitive edge that has made him so good at times, and then gets in his way sometimes and kind of is a detriment to being as efficient as you can. And the reason I say inefficient is, you know, you just throw it away and you gain 6 yards, still third down. You still don't get the first down, but you still got that 6 yards back that you took the loss on. Just little things like that, little places where you can gain a handful of yards, give yourself a better chance. The play selection's a little easier. You get a better chance on third down to stay on the field. All those, it just comes into it. But, you know, as long as he keeps trying to gun it in, and we've seen those ugly interceptions he throws where he deep down, looping ball over the middle where he throws it into a team meeting.
Right.
You know, you see both ends of it. But when the chips are down, he doesn't seem to make the mistakes he does early in the game.
No, and I think as his career goes on and as he gets more experience, the bad mistakes that we've seen will reduce. But I love the fact that he takes chances.
Me too.
I want him to take chances, to learn, to grow, because I played with conservative quarterbacks and I watched them get booed out of the stadium, you know, worse than they were booing yesterday when we were going into the half down. And so I want Josh to be aggressive. You have to make plays down the field. You have to try and throw it in tight windows to win football games in this league. And I like the fact that he's trying them, that he's continuing to grow. And a lot of his big mistakes have come when he makes a couple guys miss and he's trying to make that absolutely hero play. But that's what makes Josh Allen so good, is how competitive he is, to your point.
Steve heard me say this over the last couple weeks before Sunday's game, how, and it was just a tiny, it's not a fault, but a part of me watching the Tennessee game thought, come on, Josh, that's not you. Take a chance, you know. And I saw it at Tennessee, and that he didn't take the chance, and he had a successful, obviously a win and a successful performance. But you don't want to take that out of him. You don't want that competitive fire out of Josh Allen, I don't think, right?
Right, and I think a little bit of this game goes to the mantra we have here. And I don't mean you agree. It's a week-to-week league.
We have a mantra?
Yes. It's a week-to-week league.
I didn't know
and
that.
You think about it, like we said earlier in the show, this is the best game by far Miami's played. And the Bills kind of got hit in the mouth early, especially with their running game, Miami's running game. But I think it at this point, particularly with Josh, it takes him a little while to get a handle on how they feel against this particular team on this particular week and this particular game plan. I think he's still struggling to get settled into these games, and I think it's one of the reasons we see him get off to slow start.
Can I say this, Eric? I want to get your take on this, you as well, Steve. This is an offense still growing, still in the state of flux. There were two new elements to the offense yesterday. Tyler Kroft didn't have a big role to play, but Devin Singletary did, who was out for three games. And I just think it'd be great to start September 8th, and here's our offense, and here's what we do. They have not had that luxury. I think they're still growing as an offense with more development to come, and I think we'll see it.
Absolutely, and you come into the season with nine new starters, and that's a big deal. Yeah. You know, you talk often about how much things can change. You add a new offensive coordinator and how long that takes. Well, all these players just added a new offensive coordinator in their life. You know, that's nine new guys that were not in this scheme a year ago, and it takes time. And the great thing is, as I mentioned before, the Bills are 5-1.
Right.
You know, they're 5-1, and we can talk about how much growth they still have. And you get a talented player like Tyler Kroft back and Devin Singletary back. And now how can we use them? And now we have Motor Singletary on the field and McKenzie, and you just have so much skill and speed and elusiveness. Well, then you have Duke Williams, who's a newer addition. He was obviously here for fall camp, but in the last couple weeks he's come on, and he's 6'3", and he's physical. And there's just so many elements that I'm so excited, and you almost take for granted that you have one of the better slot receivers in football, and Cole Beasley, who can get open, and John Brown, who is completely trashed anybody in man coverage on him this year, which is a quarterback's best friend.
Hey, Steve, one more thing before we get to calls and tweets about yesterday's game. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, and it's not all good, right, from yesterday's game. We know that. But the Buffalo defense gives up 21 points to the Miami Dolphins yesterday. I don't think any of us expected that. The Dolphins clearly were motivated. They were a desperate team. We talked about Fitz a moment ago. But I expected more from the defense, especially first half in that game.
I agree, and I think the one thing that was disconcerting is that early on the run game fits weren't down. We've seen that early in other games too, where they've just gotten out of hand. I think it comes down to, in the big picture, even though it was the Miami Dolphins, you got their we got their best swing. You didn't play your best, and you won that game by 10 points. There's some positives you can take away from that, but I don't think there's any question the Bills' defense caught Miami on a good day with their running game, and man, oh man, did they had their hands full in the first half there. They only gave up a touchdown in the second half, and they gave up the touchdown run to Fitz on the big scramble where it should have been a 10-yard or 15-yard sack.
Right.
And Jerry Hughes couldn't hang on to him. So that I think this game there's a lot of positives to think, but there's no way the Bills players can walk off that field saying, yeah, this game was not was a cakewalk.
For sure.
So I think it's a lot of good things to take away from it. And I think particularly the defense, where they say, we got some things we got to work on and shore up. So I think it's going forward, I think it's a good place for the coaching staff to be in. And I think the players are going to stay hungry and know that they've got to continue to work hard.
Yeah. Sean McDermott, one of his favorite sayings in meetings is you either win or you learn. And sometimes you win and learn. You know, a loss isn't truly a loss in the NFL, especially early in the season, if you can get better from it. And that's what he would constantly preach. That's part of the reason why we were able to take one of the worst three-game skids in franchise history and still make the playoffs that year is we were learning from those weeks. Yes, we got smoked by the Jets, Saints, and Chargers.
Chargers, yeah.
And but we were able to come back from that. And yesterday, you know, it'd be interesting. We'll get Tremaine Edmonds on the show, and we'll get a chance to ask him about what they were attacking, because they were looking at something I mentioned on the broadcast yesterday. Maybe they're looking at a 280-pound Ed Oliver and guys like him and Aaron Donald. Sometimes it's better to run at them than away from them because they're so elusive. They can get down that line of scrimmage. But maybe with him, with a 218-pound Maurice Alexander behind him, maybe we're going to try and attack there. Maybe they're saying, look, they're so good off the edge. They're so good on pass defense. Let's see what we got up the middle. Right. And then once you hit one, okay, now we have some confidence. Let's get back to that. And then that really opened up the play action pass and made all those one-on-one matchups on the outside exist because of the passing,
and
or because of
along,
the running game.
As the game went along, the Bills' defense adjusted. There were more – I didn't you know, nail it down numbers yet, but there seem to be more snaps in the second half for Kyle Pecco and Jordan Phillips up front, right, as the Bills responded to what the Dolphins were doing.
Yeah, adding a little bit more size up front can be big. And when they were in 21 personnel, you know, the Dolphins have a 250-pound fullback in the game, and that adds a little bit of size up front for them. And you know, moving forward, maybe Matt Milano showed what his true value is to this team when you had some production out of the tight end yesterday that we hadn't seen as much in the past and some of those runs up the middle.
Well, that was my next question, and I'll go with you, Steve. Was that a function of missing Matt Milano that much and the adjustments the Bills tried to make without Milano?
Well, I don't know. I think a little bit of it. Well, I think they missed Matt Milano probably more in the pass defense than they did in the run defense. Like, Milano's really good out in space, and he's also good at – closing in on the swing passes, getting sideline to sideline. He's got a lot of range. I think that's where they missed him the most. I think in the run game, I think it was more of I think the Dolphins did some things they hadn't done before. I remember one where they had three wide receivers in a cluster on one side, and two of them were tight ends. They used those guys as pulling guards to come across, kick out, and that's what they were running down inside on the in the running game. And I think that's one of the things that they did. They did some things there that they had not done before. So I think they came at him with a scheme they hadn't seen, with a new player inside. And they, like you said, they were looking for matchups. I think it was a long day for Levi Wallace. I mean, they were throwing the football at him a ton. And, you know, sooner or later they're going to nick you for those. So I think that's one of the things. I think the Dolphins did a nice job of picking their matchups and putting their best players on who they wanted them on.
All right, we're going to take a break because we have Tremaine Edmonds standing by to join us when we come back. Bills linebacker with 8 tackles yesterday. He'll join us in studio with myself and Eric and Steve Tasker. Come on back. We're just getting rolling here. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from our One Buffalo studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to One Bills Live on this Monday after a Bills victory. We got a full house here. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, we're here all the time. Eric Wood joins us for this first hour, and a special guest, Bills linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. Welcome. Thanks for coming by here today.
Thanks,
we appreciate it.
We were talking, Tremaine. It looked to us, and we, Murph and I and Eric, we all watched the Miami games leading up to your game yesterday. You got their best game. Yeah. Did it feel like that on the game? Did it show up on film like that?
Yeah, I definitely thought so. A couple of things that, you know, I don't want to say that we wasn't expecting, because you got to expect everything in a football game. But, they open up a game with a gadget. So, right. Just off that, you know, I think that set a tempo of the game. Like, you know, they're going to give us some things that we may have not have seen on film. And we just got to prepare, you know, got to play our fundamentals and just play football and execute.
Right. They were able to have some success in the run game yesterday that we haven't seen a whole lot of, maybe since the first drive of the Giants game this year. What were they doing offensively to try and attack you guys?
They put a fullback in the game. I think that's the biggest thing. On film, they really haven't shown a lot of that. But I think it starts with us, though. We could have did a better job executing, and that starts with me. But if we play football the way that we know how to play, I think we could have eliminated some of that stuff.
Jermaine, the more people see the Buffalo defense, and as you guys keep playing well, teams will try to cross you up, right, with a gadget or a different look than you've seen from them so far this year.
Yeah, definitely. And, like I said, all that starts with us. If we execute, we play our fundamentals, I think everything take care of itself. So not get too high, because some things like that's going to happen in football. You just got to line up, play the next play, and go to the next shot.
What was the message at halftime of that game? I mean, you guys, the fans weren't happy. You get off the field, and you're giving up a couple of touchdowns, which you don't do too much. What were the adjustments that you guys were thinking about at halftime? What was the message from the coaching staff?
Biggest thing was just settle down. It's a long football game. They got a couple plays, a couple good plays that came out. And biggest thing was just settle down and let's go out there and execute. That was the biggest thing, a couple miscues out there. Not playing fundamentally. That's everybody out there. You can't point the finger at one person. But so it was just about us going out there and executing and playing as a whole defense and, taking care of our assignments.
you know, a couple of the biggest plays of the game came back-to-back with Jordan Phillips, TFL, and then the Tre'Davious White interception. Talk about those couple plays.
Man, that was huge for us. That was huge for us at that time. You know, they had drove the field in the red zone, goal line. So, man, that was a big play. I think Jordan, you know, got the crowd into it, you know, made the offense kind of switch about what they was going to do. Being that they was backed up a little bit now. So, you know, and then Tre'Davious coming with that pick, man. It set the crowd on fire, gave us a momentum, man. Our offense took advantage of it.
It seemed, you talked about adjustments. It seemed like as the game went along, the Buffalo defense, you guys tried to be bigger, right? There seemed to be more snaps for Jordan and for even Pecco right up front, huh? Trying to get a little bigger in the middle, maybe, or
you know, I'm not sure, you know, what the call was on that, but you know, the coaches made the call, and I mean, just everybody got to go out there and execute.
The play you just talked about with the tackle for loss by Jordan Phillips and the pick by Tre'Davious. How did it change the sideline demeanor when the offense went out there and they finished off a 98 drive right after the pick? You had to feel like a whole different football team sequence.
Yeah, it was a huge momentum change, and we needed that. Yeah. You know, that's what we talked about. Every time it's in the red zone, we talk about field goals and takeaways. And no matter if they're on the one-yard line, that's our same mindset, field goal, takeaway. And, I mean, that just gave the offense so much momentum. You could just see it. The sideline went crazy. The fans went crazy. I mean, it was just a huge swing for the football team, and we needed that.
With this hot start in Buffalo this year, the crowd has obviously been a factor. Have you noticed a difference from year one to year two in the effect that they've had on the game?
Man, I tell you, I love that crowd. I love playing at home. Even when we're away, it feels like a home game.
Right. But,
you know, it's even hard for me out there because, you know, I'm the mic, so I'm trying to get the call and I'm holding my head sick because I can't really hear it. But it's amazing, man. It gives us so much juice and energy out there. It's really effective, and I know the other team can feel that.
With the Bills linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, how has your game improved from where you were at this point a year ago, right? You played right from the start last year. Now you're a third of the way through your second season. Where do you think you are better now than you were maybe 12 months ago at this time?
I think just seeing everything out there, being more confident, you know, just settling down and letting the game come to me. You know, I think sometimes I don't really see things as quick as I want to see it. But, you know, I have a long ways to go, man. I'm nowhere close to being where I want to be at. I know there's a lot of things that I still have to work on. And each and every day, you know, my teammates challenge me. You know, we got good competition here at practice. So I'm going to continue to get better and just to be the best version I could be.
What do you think is next for this defense? I mean, you've got a couple of turnovers yesterday that were the difference in the ball game. Set your offense, stopped them from scoring on the 2-yard line with a pick, and then gave them a great short field on the next turnover when Tre'Davious punched the ball out. So you're getting turnovers. What's next for this defense? What do you guys want to accomplish?
You know, even looking at the game yesterday, there's a lot more things we could have done better, and you know, just to be even more dominant out there. So. It starts with, you know, execution, fundamentals. Go back to day one. Go back to our fundamentals and just be dominant out there. And that starts at practice. Everybody communicating on the same level. Just talking football the same language. So, I mean, we still have a lot of room to grow. I think it's still early for this defense, and we just got to continue to grow together.
I know you generally employ the 24-hour rule as a team and take in the previous game before you move on to the next one. But with the Eagles playing on Sunday Night Football last night, did you get a chance to watch them and did anything stick out if so?
Yeah, I did get a chance to watch them. But to be honest with you, just coming off a game, it was kind of more of like, you know, I'm just going to watch the game as a fan, you
for
know,
sure.
Not really try to dissect it and, you know, kind of scout them, I would say. But it was just more of me watching it as a fan and, you know, just watching football.
I watch it as a fan, yeah.
Exactly.
It's like background noise. I had it on and I wasn't really watching. Yeah. Hey, Tremaine, thanks for this. Congratulations on another win. Thanks for doing
it. Appreciate
that.
It. Yes,
we'll get
sir.
You back here again sometime. Steve and I and Eric coming back with more. Come on back. One Bills Live from our One Buffalo studio, the Seneca studio in Orchard Park. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. One Bills Live, John Murphy with Steve Tasker. We're here until 3. Eric Woods with us for the next 22 minutes or so. You can get in your phone calls, your comments. Want to know from you your biggest takeaway from the Bills win over the Dolphins. You can send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. You can phone us up at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You guys want to take a few phone calls? You up for that?
Let's do it.
Let's go to Kevin in Hamburg to get us started. Hi, Kevin. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm glad the Bills won, obviously. But I don't like how we keep having to survive these first half stinkers because we play against a good team like the Ravens who went up to Seattle and beat them in the 12th man. We'll be dead the rest of the game. You know, I'm glad our defense pulled us out, but we have some tough teams that we do that against. You know, coming up, and we could be, well, screwed the rest of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, honestly, fortunately, there's not a whole lot of tough teams on the Bills' schedule. At least they don't look so tough right now. But, Steve, yeah, they got to play better. There's no question the Bills must play better to, if they're going to keep this record going, which is going pretty well right now.
Yeah, they're finding ways to win. I mean, they're not dominating anybody on the offensive side of the football. They're scoring points at the end of games to kind of put it away or to get the lead back late. They're 5-1. I mean, it's hard to find flaws in it, but they're scoring enough points to win. But I agree with you. That's the if you're going to look for something where it looks like a team that's like going to sail through the playoffs, offense always lets you do that. But I'm telling you, defense matters. Ask the Chiefs. You know, ask these teams that are struggling. Even the Saints are playing extremely well because their defense is playing well. Yeah, the offense could play a little bit more efficiently, score some more points, finish some drives yesterday. And it would have been a much different game, but you know, these aren't bad problems to have right now. They're really not. Certainly, we'd be wringing our hands if they were a 3-2 team now or a 2-3 team. Everybody would be like up in arms because we can't score points. But man, oh man, give me these wins every year.
If you play poorly and win, I mean, it's kind of like money in the bank there, Eric. You know what I mean? It's found money basically.
Absolutely, because you're going to learn from so much throughout the game if you do play bad, you know. And I think part of it's having a second year quarterback. You know, those like we mentioned earlier in the show, he is seeing things at the beginning of games that maybe he never saw on film before. Maybe he's never experienced it in a game before. And some of that reason is maybe why they're starting slow. Maybe it's some continuity. You know, the offensive line. You know, I mentioned it in the first broadcast when we had the Jets game. They're going to get better as this game goes on and as this year goes on because they didn't get to play as a group in the preseason. So all those factors combined, 9 new starters on offense, maybe that's why the offense is starting a little slower. You know, on defense, while they return virtually everybody, they have some young guys in some key spots, a second-year middle linebacker running the show, a first-year defensive tackle. You know, there's a number of youthful players that maybe sometimes you start a little bit slower.
You know, sometimes both of you can answer this, I would hope. You hear Sean McDermott talk about some of his, you know, code words, growth process or, you know, growth mentality or the process. And it kind of goes over your head, yeah, whatever. He means something. And he's talking about learning, as you said, Eric, from week to week and getting better, right? He's looking for growth on almost a daily basis.
You got to keep striving to do that. And games like this, when you've got some things that didn't go your way, or you get the best swing of that other team, and it says something. Both these teams, we know where Miami is, and we know where Buffalo is. Miami couldn't win when they were playing their absolute best game of the season. Buffalo won by 10 when they played maybe as bad a game as they played defensively all year. So there's a lot of ways to look at this game, but you're right, Murph. It win or lose, it doesn't change the fact that you feel like you got to get better. It's a week-to-week league, like we always say, and they've got to get better for next week. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to come in desperate to keep pace in the NFC East. They're going to get another big swing from a team. And I'll tell you what, Philadelphia's best game is going to be a lot better than Miami's best game.
Yeah.
And you got to prepare this week, and I said the game is going to be won. This Philly game, if you're going to win it, it's going to be won between Monday and Saturday. That's when you prepare to win. And no matter what the Eagles do, if you're not ready for them by getting ready for 6 days up to that game, you lose that game. So that mentality has to carry you through these weeks, when whether you practice or not, or whether you're hurt, whether you got stuff to do. Treatments to get. You got to get through this with a mindset. You got to play better in order to win.
Yeah, one of the best things Sean McDermott does, and from a guy who's been in his daily meetings, is he comes with the same mentality every single day, and the consistency that he brings to the table, his team models. So each day they seem to have this workman-like mentality. I saw the guys working out today, and there's no goofing around after a win out on the turf like you maybe would have saw 5 or 6 years ago. Uh-huh. They're out there with a workmanlike mentality because that's what's expected of them every day, but the head coach models it. He's in here working out at 4-something in the morning every day. He eats the same thing for breakfast every day. He shows up and there's music going in the hallways, and he comes in with a prepared message. each day. He's diligent. His meetings are organized. Well, that rubs off on everybody, and that's how you get the growth mindset. You combined a couple of his sayings, the growth process. Right. And yeah, I like that. That'll we should get some T-shirts of combining his like all of his mantras. But as a player, you know, as a player, when you constantly get a consistent message from the head coach, it rubs off on you.
Yep.
And it's shown over these 3 years of him being the head coach.
Let's take now the call here from Kevin in Rochester. Hello, Kevin. Go ahead. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
Oh, I was calling because I was just thinking, I was just thinking about yesterday's game, and I was just thinking like, yeah, we was a young team. We came out rusty in the first half, but we were able to gather ourselves on the run. And I think that's a good thing to take out of the game is that we're able now to make adjustments as we go, as opposed to before. I don't think that we were as good in that type of situation and where we fix ourselves on the fly to win a football game and not get upset by a team. It was like I was talking to my buddies before, a winless team is the best team. They don't have nothing to lose. They play with house money. So I think we overcame that adversity. And I think Josh was very timely in the second half. And even though we didn't run the ball for a whole bunch of yards per se, we ran it. And when we did run it, we were successful at it.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, is it too soon in Josh Allen's career to say that he's got a knack for performing when the chips are down? I'm beginning to get that sense from him. You know, even if he starts out slow, don't write him off.
Yeah, he seems to have that clutch gene.
Yeah.
You know, that shows up in the fourth quarter. He's playing his best ball yesterday. In the second half, he's 10 for 11. And I love the fact – I love it and hate it. You commented on it throughout the broadcast. Sometimes I'm critical of running. Sometimes I love him running. Yeah. I hate when he runs on first and 10 and takes a shot. I love on a two-point conversion when you're putting points on the board. I love on a third and one where you're going across the sticks. Those are times, those are calculated times. And there may even be third and ones throughout a game where I don't want him to even take a big lick for because of how valuable it is to have your quarterback on the field. But that's what makes you love him. That's what makes this fan base just absolutely love him as their quarterback is his clutch ability, his competitiveness, his drive, and the plays he's making in the fourth quarter.
Well, it's one of the things, too, you think about it. You can say what we just said, talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's some of the stuff he does. He bangs it in. He picks his spots when he runs, his scrambling ability, ability to stay alive, busting in on a run at the goal line, all that kind of stuff. It's a little bit about saying a message to your teammates as well about, listen, I'm here. I'm going to go. I'm giving it everything. John Elway, the play everybody – after the 15, 17 years he played in the NFL, play he gets called out for is when he's 92 years old doing the helicopter to get the first down in the Super Bowl to win it.
Yeah.
That's the play. It's enough to be this quarterback who's protected and they wrap you in bubble wrap. And if you get touched on if you even get a finger on your head, they get a penalty on you. All that. But when you duck your head and take a blow and let's go, it's something about being in it with the guys on the team. So you're right. So too much is too much. But you got to have some of that.
Right. And all the things that we said about Ryan Fitzpatrick early in this show, a lot of those can be said about Josh Allen. He's a leader. Year two, he's a captain of this team, and guys respond to him. He treats everybody well that he's around. He puts his body on the line. He runs for first downs. He'll make plays. He builds up his receivers. He talks about his teammates so well in the media. That's all the stuff we just said about Ryan Fitzpatrick,
right.
And that's why these guys play so hard with Josh Allen as well.
Yeah. Take one more phone call in this segment. We'll go to Bob in Newark. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
About, 25 years ago, it's funny what you remember in life. Three of my guys, friends, we drove to Syracuse to watch the Bills on Monday night. They played Oakland. It was blacked out at the time. And I'll always remember the announcer screaming, "He did it again. He did it again." And that was Steve Tasker blocking another punt. I will always remember that until I die. Having said
that, do you remember that? Okay. Just checking.
I've seen it on highlights.
Continuous loop at your house.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
I got a problem, and I don't expect you guys to help me, but I got to get off my chest. I followed the Bills for, 45 years. I can't get over them not covering the Gunners against New England. I'm so mad over that. I think I'm going to be mad over that the rest of my life.
Well, here's the thing.
That is a problem, Bob.
Yeah, but yeah, let it go, Bob. But here's why it don't kid yourself. Yeah, the New England Patriots got the Bills on that. They blocked the punt, turned into a touchdown. It was a difference maker in that game. But let me tell you something. There's no doubt about it. That was a roll of the dice by the Patriots as well. They rolled the dice, leaving those guys uncovered. And there's a couple of things that were a confluence of events that you can put to planning and all that. But first of all, one, there's a bad snap to Corey Bjorquez's right. Corey Bjorquez is a left-footed punter. If he'd have been a right-footed punter, he gets that punt off because if it's a bad snap to his right, he just keeps going with his momentum and runs with the kick and punts it away. But because it was a bad snap low and to his right, he has to turn his hips and take a kind of a half click more on the clock to get straightened up to kick it back to his with his left foot. He's got an extra step or so to get that punt off. Coming back that way is where the pressure was coming from because it is his left foot. All of that stuff. Plus, they got an extra guy. There's no doubt about it. They sent extra people and rolled the dice. If Corey Bjorquez goes with the bad snap, takes a couple of steps, and throws that ball out across his body out to Kurt Coleman, he's still running. So it was a roll of the dice by the Patriots. They got away with it. They had a bad snap as well that helped them. And Bjorquez, being a left-footed punter, got caught in a bad spot with a bad snap to his right, having to turn his hips to kick the thing back to his left or to get it straight down the field even. So, yeah, it was a good play by the Patriots. They got a lucky break to include it in their roll of the dice. So they got a huge kind of a double good break on that. But it was a good planning too because they know they got a left-footed punter, and that's the side they brought the pressure from. So, yeah, I get it. It sticks around with you, particularly since they won that game by 6 points.
Yep. Hey, Eric, before we let you go, and we're running out of time here, you got a couple of events coming up on your schedule, including this weekend and at your alma mater, University of Louisville Athletics Hall of Fame this weekend, huh? You're going in.
Yeah, the induction is this weekend. Friday night there's a dinner and all that, and then Saturday's the football game, and then post-football game, I'm going straight from the game to the airport to head up here, and so I'll make sure I'm in Orchard Park for Sunday.
Do you have a speech you have to make Friday?
I will be making a speech for that.
What are you going to talk about? Have you written it yet?
I haven't, and I never gave a retirement speech, so some of the thank yous that I would have given in that for the people that will be in attendance, my parents included, it'll be fun to give some thank yous to my parents, my wife, and coaches and whatnot that'll be in attendance. But the University of Louisville means a lot to me. I had one scholarship offer.
I was going to ask you, where else did you have a chance to go?
Nowhere.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, you know, when I committed to them, I had one scholarship offer.
Close to home?
Hour and a half away. Yeah. Jeff Brohm had actually recruited other guys from my high school, and when I was a role-playing, mainly backup tight end as a junior, he had noticed me, recruited me a little bit, and then, you know, I gained 50 pounds and became an offensive lineman, and, you know, they ended up offering me a scholarship after a basketball game, after the season, my senior year. So at that time, mainly your recruiting class is completely full.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And I got lucky they even had scholarships available. So,
that's right.
So much, I'm so fortunate, and, you know, my goal when I got to the University of Louisville, and as I think back on it, I wanted, you know, guys go into colleges nowadays with 80 offers and they're entitled and they transfer if they can't start. I wanted them to get their return on investment. I wanted them to say, thank God we gave him his one scholarship, and to be nominated now into the Hall of Fame just means a tremendous amount. One of the guys going in is Francisco Garcia, played a long time in the NBA, played college basketball at Louisville. And it's funny, you know, I was such a huge fan of his, you know, through high school and stuff, and then to go in the Hall of Fame with him is really
neat. I'll tell you what,
congratulations.
A grateful heart leads to a lot of success.
Absolutely. You're right. And I try to be, you know, even with my career ending, you know, I could sit around and say, man, it stinks so bad. I should be out there playing. And Sean McDermott actually asked me before the game yesterday, how bad do you miss it? And I said, I really miss it. And on a game that's so beautiful in Orchard Park, and the stadium's filling up, when he asked me the question, and we ended up having a conversation, eventually he said, dude, I got to go inside and give a talk, bud. And but I miss it. But man, I get these really cool opportunities, and my body feels better now. And based upon the X-rays and the MRI, and I don't say this lightly, I could have been like Ryan Shazier at this point, and there's doctors that say, I don't understand why you weren't. So I'm grateful to be in this position. I get to hang out with you guys on Sundays. Me and Murph get to talk football, you know, and we get to do these types of things that I'm absolutely grateful to be back around to do.
And I'll tell you what, it wasn't like you didn't have any career. You had a really nice career, great career.
Yeah,
so it's not like you got to have both things. You know, you did a little early, no question, but you still got a lot to be happy about and thankful for, and you're in a great spot now too as well.
For sure, 9 years, cap it with the playoff run at the end and break the drought, which was absolutely tons of fun. Go from one scholarship to a first-round draft pick and all that. So I am truly grateful, and a lot of that is just – you know, I was, you know, God's favor. I got incredible opportunities and had incredible resources at Louisville. Coaches come here. I played for 7 head coaches in 9 years. And some people say, man, that's so many schemes to learn. That stinks. Well, you know what's great? When I'm doing broadcasts and I look down the sheet before the game and I say, oh, shoot, this guy came from this tree. So he was under George Edwards, who was under Zimmer, who was under him. Oh, okay, I know what this defense is going to look like already. Or this offense. I played for 7 different offensive coordinators. Yeah. Well, then when we're commentating on a game, sometimes it's easy for me to say, hey, I bet they're going to run the ball here. I bet they take a shot here on 2nd and 1. I bet after this turnover, they do a screen pass because they know that the defensive line is going to be screaming up the field.
Right.
Yep, right.
You just blew me away. A grateful heart leads to
a lot of success.
Did you make that up?
Yeah, it just came to me while I was listening to him.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's true.
I like that. No, seriously. I know it's true. And it
I hadn't thought about it like that, but you know, because you feel like you like him, you feel gratitude to the guys who offered you a scholarship. I got 0 offers when I came out of high school. I went to a community college. But there was somebody there who said, yeah, well, the coach came and asked me to come there. So I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. Then I did get a scholarship, and I was grateful there. You know, your first-round draft pick, you worked for that. I was grateful to get drafted. It leads to a lot of positive attitudes toward going forward and getting more. A grateful heart does lead to a lot of success.
Love that. Eric, we got to talk about tonight, too, and you've got something going on tonight. Eric Wood's Flights and Bites to benefit the Eric Wood Fund at Oshai Children's Hospital. You've done this for, 3 or 4 years?
And this year it's going to be the first year at 500 Pearl. It starts at 6 p.m. Because of the bigger venue, there are still tickets available. You can get those online. I've tweeted out at EWood70, my Twitter account. I've tweeted out the link. You can also get tickets on my website, ericwoodmedia.com. Tickets should be available at the door. I'm not sure what the count is at as of this morning. You should be able to get a ticket at the door if you show up. Starts at 6 p.m. will be a ton of fun.
What goes on? I'm going first time tonight. What happens?
So not a traditional sit-down dinner. That's not really how I roll.
Nobody wants it.
Yeah, I'm too fidgety for that. It's right. It's live music. It's drinks. It's food. Very short live auction. A silent auction. Jixter and the Bull will be on the microphone promoting stuff throughout the night. But unbelievable auction items. We have Josh Allen signed personalized jersey. A Jack Eichel signed jersey. We have a raffle for a trip to Dallas for the Thanksgiving game. Tickets in a suite. Hotel and flights all included. $100 raffle tickets. You get a chance to go do that. Bring a guest. So for 2 people, we have a dinner at Sear for 8 people and me after a game. And you know what the best part is? This community of Western New York, every single thing was 100% donated.
Wow.
So every cent goes to helping families with sick or disabled children here in Western New York. And all the money stays here as well. This money does not go to Louisville. This, you know, that I have separate causes down there that I support. Mm-hmm. The Eric Wood Fund will stay in Buffalo, New York, and support the children and their families that are taken care of by Oshai Children's Hospital.
It's tonight, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., 500 Pearl. And what's the website again, folks, and get information on it?
If you go to ericwoodmedia.com, there's information. Okay. But I've tweeted it out a number of times through my social media, and that's at EWood70.
Great. Eric, great to have you here. Great to be.
It's always a pleasure.
Spend 2 days a week now talking to you.
Good game, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's thanks.
Good game.
Steve and I coming back. Yesterday. Eric's making way to his Eric Woods Flights and Bites tonight, and we're back with more. Steve and I coming back with Maddie Glab in the next hour, and Chris Brown coming up at 2. Come on back. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, live from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.